We're in the Gospel of John. We're up to the 11th chapter. It's a very lengthy chapter, but it deals with one story, and I think we can go through it in a pretty abbreviated amount of time. It is a wonderful story. It's one of the most powerful stories in the New Testament, and it is one of my favorites as well. And this chapter, of course, is the resurrection or the bringing back to life of a man known as Lazarus, who was a good friend to Jesus. The Bible begins in verse 1, "Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was at Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that, saith he to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then says his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit, Jesus spake of his death. But they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest and sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us go also, that we may die with him. So Jesus is not near the town of Bethany. Bethany is about 1 mile into Jerusalem. It is in Bethany where Lazarus and Martha and Mary live. And they were very close friends to Jesus. He seems to have spent a great deal of time with them and in their homes. And they loved his message. And Jesus, in his final days, traveled between Bethany and Jerusalem. It was on that travel between Bethany and Jerusalem when he came across the fig tree that didn't have any fruit on it, and he cursed it. And when they left the city and they saw that it had so soon died. So it's in this manner of time that we're speaking. It's just a few days, around 10 days before the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. We see that in this period of time that he also rides in on the donkey, on the colt, and they throw the palms in front of him and they cry, Hosanna, our King. So it is this group of people that Jesus is very close to. And the second verse mentions Mary, the sister, that she's the one that actually, with ointment, wiped his feet with her hair. And her brother Lazarus was sick. Now, we're going to find that, I believe it's in the next chapter when this occurs. Therefore, they sent to him and they said, Look, our brother is sick. If you come, you can heal him. Because they've seen Jesus do all these miracles. They've seen him return sight to the blind. They've seen him return strength to the lame. They've seen him make the dumb to speak. They've seen him cure the lepers. They've seen all these things that Jesus can do. There's just nothing that he cannot do. So obviously, the first thing you would do is call him. Hey, our friend is sick. We want you to come quickly that you may heal him. They're not thinking in any way, shape, or form that it doesn't matter when Jesus gets there, he can bring him back to life. They're thinking of saving him before he dies. When they get to Jesus and they tell him, Jesus said that the sickness that he has is not unto death. Now, that's strange because he indeed tells them that Lazarus is dead. Well, death is a word that means separation. And Jesus is simply telling to them or trying to get them to understand that death is not a separation from him. Death is not something that occurs. Matter of fact, he calls it being asleep. If we go on, he says that the glory of God could be seen and he could be glorified by an event that's about to occur. So he waited two more days in the place that he was, the Bible says. And after that, his disciples, he said, let us go to Judea again. Okay, now it's time to go. Well, he knows Lazarus has died. It's no different than when the people come to Jesus and said, my son is sick, or my daughter is sick, or my servant is sick. And all you got to do is speak the word. You don't got to be in the room with them. You don't got to physically see them. All you got to do is say it. They had that much faith in him. And he'd say the word, they'd go home and find out, hey, they recovered in the very same time that Jesus spake. So, Jesus could have healed Lazarus from right where he was at. But instead, Jesus lingered. And he did for a very strong purpose. So now he's telling them, let's go back there. Well, they point out to him, look, you know those Jews are there to kill you. They're trying to stone you. Well, Jesus knew that nothing could happen to him until the time designated for him to die. When he was in his own town of Nazareth, they were going to throw him off the cliff. The Bible says he disappeared through the crowd. When he was in the temple, he disappeared through the crowd. On many occasions, they tried to take him. But Jesus knew the hour of his death, and he knew it wouldn't be yet. So he really wasn't too concerned about going back there. But this did concern his disciples because they knew that these men were out to kill him. So Jesus says, well, you know, there's 12 hours in a day. When you walk in that daylight, you're able to see where you go. But if you walk in the night, you're going to stumble because there's no light to be seen. Now, Jesus has given them, again, something comparing physically to something that is spiritually. That a man can walk in light, in the light of the Word of God, if he has that light. And there is plenty of time to work. And we work, because the Bible says, like the song we sing, work for the night is coming, or till the night is coming. So we are to walk as people who are in the day, who are in the light. Stumbling here would represent like a person walking in the dark, can't see the log laying in the road, and they fall over it, or the rock, and they stumble their foot. Well, a person who is a Christian, if they're walking in their light, they don't stumble over sin when it's put in their way. They're able to maneuver around it and it not affect them. So after that, he said, well, Lazarus, our friend, he's just sleeping in verse 11. We'll go wake him up. Well, they said, well, you know what? It'd be great if he's just sleeping, but, you know, they came to us and they obviously were telling Jesus how bad off he was, just how close to death this man was. And the disciples knew that tarrying for two more days, well, you're going to be real fortunate if he's still alive. Jesus says, look, he's sleeping. Let's go wake him up. And then after they said that, Jesus declared to him, no, I know, Lazarus is dead in their eyes and what death means. But here's the one that has the power over death, hell, and the grave. And so he's about to show them something that should prove beyond any shadow of doubt that he indeed is the Son of God. So he said, I'm glad that Lazarus died for your sake so that you can see the glory of God. You're going to be able to see what God can do through me and prove to you of who I am. Now, you may think, well, isn't that pretty bad? He let Lazarus die. But Jesus knew that he'd bring him back. And I'm sure that if Jesus would have asked Lazarus the question, would you die so that I could bring you back and show the glory of God, that Lazarus would have volunteered to do it. So I don't think in any way it was wrong. As people may think, well, why didn't he save this man before he died? Something needed to be shown here. Can you imagine being able to talk to Lazarus after his resurrection and what he experienced, what he went through. Well, that's coming up. In the 16th verse, Thomas, who we know is the one who said that he's not going to believe that Jesus rose from the dead till he could see those marks in his hands, his feet, and the spear-pierced side. But he makes the comment, we're going to go with him. We can die with him. Some people, and I've read commentaries where some people think that this was kind of a sarcastic comment made by Thomas. But I don't see that. I don't think it was sarcastic at all. I think Thomas was simply saying, I'm going to go with the Lord regardless of what is going to happen. Peter said the same thing when they were at this Last Supper and Jesus telling him of what's going to happen to him and that the sheep, the shepherd will be smote, the sheep are going to be scattered. Then Peter saying, well, I'll not deny you. I'll not leave you. I'll be with you even unto death. Well, this is, I think, the same sort of thing that Thomas is proclaiming at this point. Now, I don't think sometimes Thomas is given his due. A lot of people have named him Doubting Thomas because Jesus told him, put your finger here in the nail print and thrust your hand here in my side and doubt not. It wasn't so much on that occasion, but Thomas knew that Jesus had already warned them and told them there'll be others coming saying they are the Christ, but believe them not. So Thomas is saying, look, I just want the proof. And so sometimes I think Thomas gets a bad rap when perhaps that really wasn't what was in his heart. Here, he's obviously ready to go with the Lord even unto death. So at verse 17, then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now there is no doubt that he's dead. 4 days in there. The man is dead. You don't need a doctor to pronounce it. You don't need to run some kind of test to find out. They know he's expired. Now, Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs. That's what we said, somewhere in the range of about a mile. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. So now there's an audience there. Here's another reason Jesus is waiting. Because you know how people show up for a funeral. People may not go visit someone for years when they're alive, but when they die, they'll go to the funeral. Well, there are many people now, they've heard of his death. They know who Mary and Martha is. They're going there to comfort them. People are going there to pay their respects. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth on me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. So now Jesus is approaching the town of Bethany, and people go in and they tell Mary and Martha that Jesus is now coming. When Martha heard it, she ran out to meet him. Mary sitting in the house, obviously distraught, obviously weeping because of the loss of their dear brother. Martha runs to Jesus. Jesus, if only you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. Jesus says, well, Do you believe that he'll live again? You know he's going to rise again, Jesus said. She says, well, I know in the resurrection. So these folks, this tells us that Mary, Martha, and Lazarus had learned a great deal from Jesus and his teachings. Because she said, yes, I know in the last day, at the resurrection, that he'll live again. That that body will come out of that grave. That his soul will be joined back to it. He'll be a new creature to live immortal forever. Jesus said, well, you know, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. So this is another way of Jesus saying, if you believe in me, you'll never die. Because he is the resurrection. He was the first to come forth from the grave, victorious, holding the keys of death and hell. He'll never having to die again. Now, unfortunately for Lazarus, and unfortunately for others that died, that Jesus rose from the dead, they would die again. Because it isn't the time yet, in the time for the resurrection. But Jesus will not. He's eternal now. When he rises from the dead, as we see. So if you believe in him, then don't have to be afraid of death. Though you might expire in this life, you will live. That's what Jesus says in verse 25. And if you liveth and believeth in me, shall never die. Well, that simply means that we are always going to be with him. That he is not going to separate himself from us. He has the power to resurrect us because he is the resurrection and the life. And that's why he simply said, Lazarus sleeps. Not Lazarus died, even though he told him, yeah, okay, so you'll understand this. Lazarus is dead. But Jesus used the term, he's asleep. And many times throughout the scriptures, that is the terminology that is used on people who have passed on. So, once again, she now declares that she believes Jesus is the Son of God that would come into the world. So she goes her way now and tells her sister Mary, secretly, that Christ has come and he calls for her. So she now gets up from the house. She runs out to meet Jesus. Jesus wasn't yet in the town. Martha meets him, Mary meets him, and the Jews that were with her in the house that had comforted her, they saw Mary get up and run out. They think she's going to the grave. So perhaps they followed her to comfort her. So Mary came to Jesus. She fell at his feet and says basically the same thing. If thou hadst been here, my brother had not died, in verse 32. So Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews weeping, which had came with her. And he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. When you try to get somebody to understand something important, you're trying to tell them, and they're having a hard time to grasp it. You know that feeling you get? That you're not getting that message across. Well, I think this is what Jesus was groaning. He's groaning within himself because these people aren't understanding what's about to take place. They're not understanding the whole thing and why it took place in the first place. So he groans in his spirit. He asks, where you laid him? They said, come and see. And then the shortest verse in the Bible, verse 35, Jesus wept. Did Jesus weep because Lazarus was dead? I don't think so. I think he wept because he saw the sadness in all the people there. And he felt for them. And he felt for what they were going through and what they were feeling because and I don't mean to be cruel in any way, but when a Christian passes on, we may be sad that we're not going to see them here on this earth anymore, but it's kind of hard to be too awful sad because you know they've gone to a good place. And yes, we'll cry and we'll weep because we're going to miss them. But on the other hand, we know they're in the care of Jesus. So anyways, Jesus here sees all of this. Some of them said to him, verse 36, he said, then said the Jews, behold how he loved him, because he wept. And some of them said, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? So once again, if he'd just been here, he could have healed this man. After all, he gave the blind his sight. Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it, much like what Jesus was buried in. Typical burial place. Many families had caves in those areas into rock. They might even had it chiseled out of the rock. And this would be the family burial plot. And they'd have a stone that would go in front of it. So each time a family member passed away, they could move the stone and take them in and lay them in their spot. Well, Lazarus is laying in the spot of the family burial place. Jesus has been asked to go there. And now again, he groans in himself. I think once again, because these people aren't able to grasp what's about to take place. Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone." Verse 39. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, "Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he'th been dead 4 days." Jesus saith unto her, "Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I know that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me." And when he had thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, "Loose him and let him go." Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. So here comes the great event. And almost every time I read it, I get chills. Because I can just vision something like this taking place. In your mind, here is Jesus, the Son of God. He's standing there in front of this tomb. He says, "Take that stone away." And Martha's saying, "But Lord, he's been dead 4 days. He's decomposing. By now, you know, the stink is beginning to occur. We don't want that. We don't want everybody to have to experience that." But nonetheless, at the command of Jesus, they took the stone away. And of course, Jesus had to point out that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. Again, here's that belief combined with seeing the work of God. Belief is so, so important. It's the first step. As after we have heard the Word of God, it is that belief that begins to take us on our journey to baptism and to eternal salvation. A belief that we must have, a trust, a conviction that exists within us about God. So they took away the stone. Jesus then lifted his eyes to heaven. And he gives all credit to the God, to Father, to God. He says, "I thank thee that thou hast heard me." Jesus is so humble in everything he does. He gives all the glory, all the credit to the Father. And he does here. "I knew you hear me always, Father, but I said it because of these people that are standing by, that they may believe you sent me." Because of what's about to happen, there can be no doubt. So when he said that, he then cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And what happens? Lazarus came forth. Here comes a dead man, a man who had been dead 4 days, comes out of a tomb. He's wrapped in the burial clothing and cloth. He has the ointments put upon him that they use the spices and such to bury someone with, especially someone who's loved. And Jesus says, "All right, take that stuff off him, let him go." Well, once this takes place and they see Lazarus standing there alive, I mean, can you just imagine? Can you imagine the feeling? Can you imagine the sight? Can you imagine the overwhelming joy of Mary and Martha to see their brother alive again? We've all lost loved ones. And what we would give to have them alive again. Can you imagine the great overwhelming feeling that they had that their brother is living again? After all the sadness and sorrow, it's all been wiped away. There is no more sadness and sorrow with them. Lazarus is alive, standing before them. Well, the Jews that came to be with them saw the things that Jesus did, and they believed him. After all, believed him means they believed that he is the Son of God, because who else could do this? Nobody else. Nothing was impossible to him. Others who saw it said, we better go tell the Pharisees about this, these men that are wanting to kill Jesus. So they ran and they told them what Jesus did. Verse 47, then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, what do we, for this man doeth many miracles? It's kind of interesting, isn't it? Here they've got the Son of God with them. He's doing all these wonderful miracles, healing so many sick people, not raising the dead. And instead of them saying, let's go out there and join him. This man's for real. Let's go out there and support him and do whatever needs to be done. Nope, we want to try to kill him. He's got more people following him now almost than we do. He's got the people listening to him. We're losing our grip. We're losing our power. Well, I'll tell you what, if you listen to our politics today and you hear the lies that are being told and all the things that are being done and the appeasements that's being done for special groups of people, you realize that that's exactly what our politicians are feeling today. They're beginning to lose their grip, and they got to do whatever they can to keep it. If we let him thus alone, verse 48, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation. I'm not sure why they believe that. I'm not exactly sure why they thought that as a nation, if they were to have accepted Jesus as being the Son of God, that the Romans were going to come and take their nation away. They had a setup with them, obviously. The Roman government was allowing them to have their own worship, their own civil law in many ways. And other things like that, they had what they thought was a pretty good setup. And they thought, well, we're about to lose that. And one of them named Caiaphas, being the high priest the same year, said unto them, ye know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not. And this spake he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation, and not only for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. At this point, the Jews had really corrupted the high priest situation. If you know, read later on, you read that the first place that they took Jesus from the garden was to the house of Annas. Annas was the high priest prior to Caiaphas. Well, you can't have two high priests living at the same time. What occurred in the Old Testament was when a high priest passed away, his son or the next ordained person became the high priest. Not only that, they had to be of the tribe of Levi. They had to be of the lineage of Aaron. And from what I understand, if my memory doesn't fail me here, is that Caiaphas basically had been appointed like a political office. But nonetheless, he's acting as high priest. Now, he's one that after they go to the house of Annas, they now take him over to this high priest, Caiaphas. You know, he condemns Jesus. But here, he's going to speak something prophetically. Maybe he doesn't even know he's doing it. Maybe he doesn't even understand it. But the words come out of his mouth. That one man should die for this nation, and not just for this nation, but that he could gather all together God's children into one. Obviously, that's exactly what Jesus did. So whether Caiaphas knew it or not, or knew what he was saying or how he was saying it, he actually said what Jesus was going to accomplish. In verse 53, then, from that day forth, they took counsel together to put him to death. Jesus therefore walked no more openly among the Jews, but went thence into a country near to the wilderness unto a city called Ephraim. And there continued with his disciples, and the Jews' Passover was nigh at hand. Then many went out of the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. Then sought they for Jesus, and spake among themselves, and they stood in the temple. What do ye think ye, that he will not come to the feast? Now both the chief priests and the Pharisees had given a commandment that if any man knew where he were, he should show it that they might take him. So now things are getting real serious. And it's getting close to the time, as we said, that Jesus is going to be crucified. At this point in time, he takes himself away from Bethany, away from the clamor and away from those who are seeking to stone him. Although, as we said before, he knows his day has been designated. And he does show up. They question and wonder, with this Passover coming up, if he was going to be there. And Jesus does come. It's interesting to note, as we'll find in the next chapter too, that not only did they want to put Jesus to death, they also now want to put Lazarus to death. And Lazarus isn't guilty of anything. But they want to kill him because Jesus raised him from the dead. And they want to, maybe perhaps in their way, try to show people that he could die. I don't know. But Jesus didn't say Lazarus was resurrected to live forever. He simply brought him back to life in this earth. Obviously, Lazarus would, again, suffer death. But I just think how wonderful it would be to talk to Lazarus. How wonderful it would be to ask him what he went through and what it was like. You know, people today give all kinds of stories about it, and I'm sure you've heard them, but none of them can really be believed. They weren't dead 4 days. They were people who said they died on a table and were brought back, or they were dead for a few minutes or whatever the case may be. But here's a man who was dead for 4 days. Now he's living again. Can you imagine the people that went to see Lazarus? His popularity had to grow. To go see this man who died and is now alive, especially in those days, it just would have been wonderful. I hope tonight that we brought something out in this chapter. It is a very inspiring chapter. It's a great chapter. And it shows forth the power of God and the power of Jesus Christ and the very fact that there should have been no doubt as to who he really was. To be one this evening, won't you come over, stand and sing.